presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are thankful that you have tuned in today. We're going to be talking about good news, and I get really excited about good news, and I'm just really excited about what God is doing. Hopefully everybody who came to church this last Sunday was touched by the power of God's word. We are believing for God to do a healing work in all of his people. Tomorrow night we have a guest speaker at our church, and they're going to be dealing with relationships and God working you through the process of healing from relational hurts and getting you to a place of relational wholeness. And so that will be taking place Wednesday night, 7 p.m., from 7 to 7:45 at Merritt Assembly of God. God has been doing a great thing in our kids' ministry with boys. And that's really exciting, because we want to make sure that our young men get started off on the right path instead of the wrong path. And if you've got some kids in your family or in your neighborhood that could use some spiritual training, invite them to Merritt Assembly of God. Their classes start, we start serving food at 6. Classes start at 6:30, and they go until 7:45. This coming Sunday night, we will be having a football outreach. We are going to be having a wing contest. We're going to start Sunday night at a special time. It will begin at 6 o'clock. The football game, I believe, starts at 6:30. During halftime, we are not going to be showing the normal things that are going on. We are going to be sharing a ministry video and looking forward to what God does in that situation. I've known some football players in my life. One of the people that I grew up with and ended up going on and playing for the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys and winning a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. And he looks like he could still get out there and play today, though he's well past age to be playing with those young whippersnappers out there. But we're going to be having that wing contest. There's going to be a couple of prizes we're going to award that night. And by the way, there's other food. If we've got some people bringing potato salad and some bringing bean dip and chips, and we're going to have sodas and tea and lemonade and water and all that sort of type of stuff. But we're also going to have another prize. We're going to have a prize for the wing contest, but we are also going to have a prize. When you come in the door that night, we're going to give you the opportunity to write your name down and pick between the two teams, which team you think is going to win, whether it is going to be the New England Patriots or whether it's going to be the Atlanta Falcons. And so at the end of the night, after the game is over, we will go to the bucket, which their team won, and we will be drawing out of that bucket one name, and that person will be receiving a prize that night. And so a couple of different ways that you could have a great time. If you don't know Jesus, we want to invite you to come. Now, we're going to do our best to filter out as much of the bad stuff as we can, such as the commercials and stuff like that. We're gonna try and filter out the beer commercials and all of that sort of stuff. Don't want any sexuality going on. So we're gonna do our best to filter that stuff out, and make it a wholesome event and something for the whole family to enjoy, not just for the depraved to enjoy. So that's coming up Sunday night. We do want to start off today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you have any block or construction need, can I encourage you that this is the time of year that you want to be doing something like that, because the weather is cooler and it would be of you know, maybe not the busiest time of the year. And so if they can help you with any of your remodeling or any of your expansion needs, give them a call, 536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. Having said all that, let's get into God's Word and take a look at Isaiah chapter 60. We've been here now for several days. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13 and go on, and it says, "The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." So we're going to stop our reading there because I'm not sure we're going to get past that. But I can tell you, this chapter is a phenomenal chapter. I don't know how many sermons you've ever heard out of Isaiah chapter 60. This may be breaking new ground for you, but there are phenomenal promises here. If we will do what we're called to do, which is rise and shine, if we will allow God to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives, say yes to his sovereignty in every arena, and allow him to glorify himself in us and through us, then all of a sudden there begins to be breakthroughs and social dynamics begin to change. And that's what we really want to see. When God is on the throne, the dynamics of that people group look entirely different than those trying to make it on their own. Okay. If you go back and look at the Tower of Babel, when they began to try and build that in contrast to what God had instructed them to do, and compare the materials that they used to, it said they used this instead of that, and they used this instead of that. They used inferior materials to try and build a city, and it said this, to make a name for themselves. I'm not here to try and make a name for myself. I'm here today to glorify the name of Jesus. So that, all of that begins to change the social dynamic. Obedience has a dynamic that it creates in a people group. I don't know about you, but I remember times when I disobeyed as a child, and the dynamic of the household was different when correction was in place than it was when I had done what I was supposed to do, and we were getting to enjoy our relationship, the relationship we have with our parents, not having them having to correct me all the time. And so one of the benefits, one of the social dynamics, is that God will begin to deal with the hearts of those people who have oppressed you and those people who despise you. Look at what it says. "All the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet." I'm using the word oppress instead of afflict. That means that they treated you badly. It means that instead of causing you comfort, they were causing you pain. Everybody has had people that have done things to them that were uncomfortable, they weren't pleasurable, and you don't want to repeat them ever again. And so wherever you are at, God will begin to deal with those. You see, the Bible is very clear about things that belong to him. And you've heard me say this, don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. Or, you know, if you're a girl, don't the gold, the glory, or the guys. But there is another thing that God says belongs to him. It says that the tithe belongs to him. And so you want to make sure that that is his, that the Sabbath is his. It is his gift to us for our benefit. And then it also says this, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Now, one of the great ways that you can discern the condition of your own heart and spiritual life is the attitude that you have towards those who have oppressed you. If you are praying, God, break all their teeth, kill them, maim them first, rip out their heart and show it to them before they die. You know, if that's your mindset, then God is trying to work on you during that process, because your mindset there is not the heart of God. You say, but they're treating me badly. Yes, but Jesus said he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And hurting people hurt people. So they are reaching out, lashing out at you. And it may be that you not retaliating against them and not seeking your own vengeance against them will be the trigger that God uses to initiate newness of life in them. That they will say, why are you treating me like this when I have treated you so badly? Look, most people know if they have treated someone badly. It doesn't mean that they will always care, but most people that I have come across in my life, even though many of them treat you badly from time to time, a lot of those occasions have not been intentional. They have been unintentional. Okay? Not everybody is going to be as sensitive to a vulnerable area in your life. If it's a vulnerable area in your life and they don't know it, then they may actually end up creating an uncomfortable situation with you, but it wasn't done intentionally. I'm thinking of a situation right now where I came up to somebody and I patted them on the back or shook their hand, nice and firm, and not realizing that they had a problem with their shoulder and they had a problem with their hand. Now, I've had a problem with my shoulder before. It's not something that you want somebody coming up and patting you with. You don't want somebody dealing with a freshly operated on shoulder. And so if there's a sensitivity in your life, that affliction may not be personal. There are people who are oppressing Christians because they are Christians. And so you pray for them. Why would you pray for them? Well, I tell you that because of what the scripture said that God was able to do in the life of Saul. Saul was the one who lashed out against the church, persecuted the church, stood there and gave his approval to the death of Stephen and stood there and guarded the garments of those people who stoned him to death. And yet God had a plan for his life to redeem him and use him for the glory of God. Does it mean that Paul never had any consequences? I don't think that's the case at all. I believe that Paul, you know, discovered what it was like to live on the other end of persecution as well. But he also understood what it was like when he had been arrested falsely. He knew what it was like to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is unjust. I'm a Roman citizen. You can't treat me like that. He also knew what it was like to have an angel stand there by his side, ministering to him in hopeless situations. So I want to tell you that God can change the heart of an oppressor. So you say, God, you know what? I'm going to pray for that person. And don't just give it lip service. Allow it to come from the depths of your heart. Say, God, would you birth in me a compassion for these people so that just like Jesus, when he was being wrongfully afflicted and beaten, smitten, struck with people's hands, slapped in the face, crowned with a crown of thorns, crucified, and buried in a borrowed tomb, he was actually weeping for Jerusalem. He said, don't weep for me. You know, y'all have got bigger problems right now than feeling sorry for me. The Bible calls whatever situation that we are going through light and momentary afflictions compared with the glory that God has stored up for us. So I'm not saying that it is insignificant. I'm just saying don't let that tip the fulcrum or the balance in such a way that you embrace your affliction so much that you allow it to steal the glory that God has laid up for you instead of that. So So God says when people use you despitefully, that was the other thing. He said there are going to be people who despised you. They hated you. They couldn't stand you. And God is going to create in them a situation where their mindset toward you is going to change. Okay? I know that God can do this. There was a person one time, and they told me, I don't want you to talk to me about God. I don't want you to talk to me about church. I said, okay, fine. Several years later, they gave their heart to Jesus. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit and went into ministry. They work another job. They work a full-time job. But they have a heart for God, a heart for young people, a heart for ministry. And all of that came out of the same person that at one point in time didn't want to hear anything about church, didn't want to hear anything about God. And God completely revolutionized their heart and their life. Okay? People speak evil about things that they do not know about. And so what I'm telling you is if people hate you, pray for them. Ask God for situations on where you can demonstrate the love of God to them. If they have oppressed you or afflicted you, live the light before them and say, and don't pray for vengeance to come from you. Say, God, you handle this situation. And the truth of the matter is God is going to process that in a manner that when it's all said and done, everybody is going to say, God, you handled that situation exactly right. Okay. There's a scripture that says this: I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and voice the bitterness of my soul. If you want to hate your life, just go ahead, try to handle everything yourself. Go ahead and just let everything run off at the lips. Just go ahead and spew it all out there if you hate your life. But if you believe that God can do a better job of getting you out of your mess, then I encourage you that instead of complaining, to praise him. Instead of giving free rein to your complaint, rein it in. Let God take control and be the Lord over your tongue. And in order for that to happen, he has to change your heart. You can tell the condition of a person's heart by what is coming out of their mouth. That's the reality. And if they will not allow the word of God to address that situation in their heart and in their life, then you just pray for them and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Bring them to the place to where they are willing to address the crisis that they have. So, That's number 14. I want to spend the last 10 minutes of the program here and I'll be honest with you. I've read my Bible bunches and bunches of times, dozens, if not hundreds of times have I read through the book of Isaiah. And as I was preparing for this broadcast, there was a verse here in number 15 that jumped off the page. And I had never focused on it before. It's like a brand new passage. Are you ready for this? Whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You see, too many people believe in the supremacy of their faults instead of the supernatural ability of God. Too many people are like Moses. They focus on their stammering tongue instead of the God who created the tongue. They focus on their power or their giftings or their limitations instead of what God can do. Many people are like the spies that went into the promised land to check it out, and they came back and said the giants are there, and they saw the magnitude of the giant and they saw their own insignificance. They forgot to compare the giants to their God. They had seen God overpower the greatest army on the earth, but they did not believe that he was able to vanquish the fortified cities that were in existence in the promised land. God says, I will make you not only excellence, I will make you an eternal excellence, something that is going to endure for all time. You see, there is a term in the sports realm. It's called the GOAT. And, you know, we think of the GOAT in a negative connotation, but in the sports world, GOAT means greatest of all time. Greatest of all time. Jesus is the greatest of all time. He is the greatest ruler of all time. He is the greatest man of all time. He is the greatest warrior of all time. He is the greatest provider of all time. He is the greatest healer of all time. And so I want you to see that. But God says that if, as we begin to allow him to have his way in our life, that his purpose is to create in us a standard of eternal excellence, one that is not only going to be excellent for a season, but one that is going to be excellent no matter what generation may come up. And so I looked up the word of that because I didn't just want to take it at the New King James Version value, but it means majestic. So let me read it to you according to this definition. I will make you an eternal excellence. I will make you an eternal a person of majesty. I will make you a person of eternal maturity. I will make you an eternal increase. I will make you an eternal source of God's pride. God really does love his people. He does boast about you. All you got to do is look at the book of Job and see where he says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? I have a friend who just went through a very trying, very, very trying situation in his life. And as we sat and had dinner with him about a week and a half ago, he said, I am living the backside of Job's trials. He said, God has doubled everything in my life. He life on the other side, while it's not the same as it was before, the provisions are abundant, and I can see that God is sufficient. So I encourage you today, don't settle for good when God is challenging you for excellence. Don't just settle for something that is good right now, like, you know, in the 70s. Bell-bottom jeans and disco pants and disco music, all of that. I mean, if you were cool, that's what you were doing. And now, I don't think you really want to be seen wearing that sort of stuff unless you're an actor playing a role in a movie. So there are things, and I just tell people, you know, young people now, I said, you know, I encourage you, as you are going through this stage in your life, don't do what some of us did and fall for every trend that Hollywood tells you about, or the department stores tell you about, or the fashion designers tell you about, or the hairstylists tell you about, because one day you are going to look back and you are going to say, what in the world was I thinking? At the time, you thought that that was hip. You thought it was cool. You thought it was fantastic. And now you look back and say, oh, I wouldn't be caught dead doing that. And yet you were caught in your prime doing that. God is looking to create in us a moral excellence, a spirit of excellence, a mental excellence, a financial excellence, an eternal influence of excellence, that the people that we come in contact with are going to say, you know what? That's the standard that stood up then, and it is still the standard that stands up now. So when you read biographies of people of faith, you know what? Their faith was sufficient. It was excellent then, and it's still excellent now. Faith never goes out of style. It is never going to be on the on the closeout bin. It's never going to be the cheapest price. God is always going to be looking to take you from one level of faith to another level of faith. And so don't minimize where you're at. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. What you are is a work in progress. What I am is a work in progress. What ministry in this community is a work in progress. And God's saying, if you will let me be Lord, if you will let my glory function and flow the way that I want it to, if you will arise and if you will just emerge and shine the glory that, or reflect the glory and the brilliance that I am demonstrating in your life, you are going to find your sphere of influence increasing. You're going to find your provisions increasing, and you are going to find that I'm going to cause you to be the standard of excellence. I know it can happen because it was said of Daniel. Daniel was a captive carried off to Babylon. And it was said over and over of him, and especially in times of crisis, when people didn't know what to do, they turned to Daniel because it says this, he had a spirit of excellence. I don't think that God intended for that to be a one-time event. I believe that he meant for Daniel to be an example to us, that if we would refuse to compromise what our covenant with God, if we would say yes to obedience, if we were willing to endure even those times when, listen, Daniel wasn't just a minority. Him and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were a handful. They wouldn't even get a statistical mention in the demographics if they'd done a census. And yet, when it came to knowing what the king should do, when it came to operating in wisdom, Daniel was the very definition of eternal excellence. Let me just read that to you one time. He said, once you were forsaken and hated so that no one went through you. No one wanted to have anything to do with you. But now, he says, I will make you an eternal excellence. Let's pray that God accomplishes that here in Brevard County, shall we? Father, we are here right now. We are yours. We belong to you. God, we pray for those who have oppressed us. We pray for those who have despised us without cause. Lord, those people who've lashed out because they simply didn't understand the standard of your word and what you were asking us to do. God, I pray for them that you would bring them into the household of faith. And Lord, for every believer, I pray today that you would make us a more excellent person, a more excellent man, or a more excellent woman than we were when we started. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.